Well, welcome to the September 22nd, 2019 Phone Bridge Workshop. It is entitled The Many Steps of Service in CA Health. Okay, this workshop is being recorded, and so we will only be sharing our phone numbers after the recording has been turned off. Today we have six members sharing on the service on CA Health and the service level that they have served in CA Health. Okay, after the speakers, there will be time to ask questions of the members. That is after the recording has been turned off. So let's all, you can unmute by pressing star 6 if you would like to, and let's open up with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to know the difference, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay, you, those of us who are not speaking right now, let's make sure that we are muted by pressing star 6. Okay, today we will have members who are sharing at the level that they have served, and our first speaker is Diana P. She's going to be sharing about doing service on the phone bridge. Go right ahead, Diane.
Okay. Thank you so much, Marcia. My name is Diane P. I have been in CHOW, and it wasn't CHOW when I first started, since 1988. I have been more out than in. When I first came in, I was on a honeymoon, and I didn't feel like I needed to give service. I came to get. And I'm grateful to God that here I am coming back in 2017, July, that I have taken on a new mindset that service is all that I need. I mean, it's something that keeps me sane. It keeps me honest. It keeps me participating in a way that I was not willing to do in earlier times. I would go to the meetings, but I wouldn't participate, or I wouldn't be willing to give service. And I've just changed. I've matured more and become in desperation, because when I came back this last time, I'd been out like 2 years or 3 years, and I had diabetes. And I was just a wreck. My weight had come back completely, and I didn't know anything. I had to really put my feet, both feet in, not one. I couldn't be on the sidelines. I had to participate. By the grace of God, I was, and it's only God's grace, that I was on a phone bridge meeting, and I got a sponsor right away. And I'm grateful, because that's been an inspiration. I've had the same sponsor for the last 3 years, and that has been, I don't know how to express how much appreciation I have for my sponsor. But she keeps me in mind. When she hears of an opening, she lets me know, and normally I say yes. If I can't start this week, I'll give an idea of when I can start, and I step in, jump in with both feet. Knowing that service is an accountability and an honesty of this program to me. And it allows me to get out of my self-seeking thinking and actions. I have done co-leading for the meetings, and that's helpful sometimes. I don't have to do it every single week in some cases. It was something I only had to do once a month. And then I stepped in to be the leader for an every week participation as a leader. And making sure that I've got all my readings, the formats. I copied off everything that I needed and put it in a notebook with the clear inserts. I made sure that every meeting that I have my booklet with me, so if I need to read something, I'm available to do that. And also the formats, I have those in these plastic sleeves so that if I am called to do something, if I've ever done the meeting before, I can have that readily available. I normally have my big book when I start the meeting so that if there's some quiet time, there's no one willing to read at that moment, that I have my big book and my 12 and 12. It's right here on the side of my bed waiting if I need it. I found that being of service during the meeting assists us, each of us, in participating in our recovery. If we're looking for long-term recovery, service is the way to get it, because I can't, there's no way I can go out between first week and second week of the month. I need my 30 days. I need to keep my mindset on long-term recovery, and being of service is one of those ways that I can do that. It has been a positive impact on my life. My prayer most days is, how can I be of service? Even in my personal life, I am always involved with someone where I can give them like a ride to a meeting, or I find myself, I'm still working, but I find myself personally involved with my clients. I do taxes. And I am just involved possibly more than most people would be, but I want to be of service. And these meetings just set me off. This particular time of my life, I have decided, I started in September, to do a 90 and 90, and that's 90 days of meetings on the phone bridge. I have been participating in the 7 a.m. being, making sure that I'm up and God wakes me up. I don't use an alarm clock or anything like that, but my participation in it has to grow. I need to be willing to share more, but I am listening to these meetings for the next 90 days, and I'm always willing to be a support of any kind. If I hear someone, I do my outreach calls from the meetings, and I'm meeting new people from all across the world. I mean, it's unbelievable the way that just calling somebody and saying you inspired me to, you know, your story inspired me to stay in this program, because I'm one bite away, just one bite. There are many times I go out to different locations. Yesterday I went to a party, a birthday party. There were program people there, thank God, and even if it were not, I would still stand my ground in the sense that eating the food that I committed to my sponsor and just being of service. If there's any way I can move something, or, you know, you need me to do something, you know, all you have to do is ask. I'm grateful for that. That willingness that comes readily, and I think I've been that way most of my life, that I've been ready to help any way that I could. And I'm going to comment on some of the things that happen in the meetings, and sharing is one of them. And what I consider sharing is removing thoughts and ideas to make additional room for God's will in my life. And knowing that service is honesty in recovery, I have to let my sponsor know if I'm having an issue. And I try to do each one of my questions on a daily basis and participate in the meetings in a way that I can be connected and have a kinship of a kind. There are many people in this program that I have shared with, you know, some intimate things that have happened in my life, and I'm grateful for that willingness to do that, because I was isolated and did not want to share what had happened in my life. But I found that the more I let out, there's more room for God, and I'm grateful for that thought. For me to even have that thought. Is someone timing me, Marcia?
I am timing you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I have 5 minutes.
No, would you like a heads up at 5 minutes?
Yes, please.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So the willingness and the ability to change my attitude about what I'm willing to share, I don't have any secrets anymore. For years I did, and I think that's what kept me overeating and whatnot. Thank God I don't drink. I got some whole other issues and that I deal with. However, but I am just being a person who wants to be a leader or a co-leader on a meeting is the ultimate as far as I'm concerned. And I just want to be of service. I want to, in my mind, just to be helpful if I can be. And sharing my experience, strength, and hope, it makes me even stronger. You know, I'm building a muscle, even though I know that, you know, I could relapse within the moment. I've done it before, and I don't know if I'd be able to come back in. I don't know that, so I'm making sure that I don't go out again, and willing to help anyone that I can to recover. I don't do so much talking outward. I want to be an example, more so not promoting, but being an example. And if anyone has any questions about my service, you know, if you ever hear me on the meetings, you'll have my phone number. And I am just elated that my sponsor asked me to participate in this particular workshop, because service is the ultimate in my life at this time. And I think that but being honest is the biggest thing in my life, is being honest and accountable for where I stand in this program. And just knowing that God, you know, if God is all that there is, then if I need help, I know that God is there to give it to me. My prayer this day is that God open my eyes that I may see the beauty he has promised and provided for me. And I'm thankful for that. I go into meditation before going into meetings, and normally they're good for the individual and the collective. I have five more minutes.
You have five more minutes if you wish.
Hey. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So what else do I want to say? I have been resistant, or had been resistant, to service because I thought everyone would see my vulnerabilities. However, when I listen to other meetings, I'm finding that, you know, I can learn something from people who are willing to share. And going to a meeting is the only way I'm going to hear that. They give their intimate thoughts when they're sharing, and I just go on like they're, I heard them, and I made a point to listen, and there are others like me. I'm not by myself. I'm thankful for that. I have not participated in face-to-face meetings, but I live in Los Angeles, and there's so many meetings here that I'm going to get involved in one of them. In some cases, it's much easier to go on phone bridge, but face-to-face meetings are also a asset in your life if you have them in your city to participate. No more in setting up the chairs and reading. There's always, if you're not abstinent, there's always the way to step into the program and reading and sharing. If you have 7 days, is a good situation also. And being of service, you know, literature, something that keeps you coming back, so that you don't think about going out. It's easy going out. I can remember each and every time that I came up with a self-seeking thought, and I was out before you knew it. And it looked like I could not come back, but I'm grateful that I'm back. And I'm knowing right here that God has his hands on me, because I don't know how I would have found a sponsor. I disconnected, and every so often, because my name stayed on the phone bridge meeting, I mean the participants, and there's only about 600 or 700 names on there, and you can just pick and choose anyone depending on their time zone and call them, you know, if you know more than leave a message, something to make a connection. And so many times when I was out, there were people who called because my name's Diane. It was somewhat at the top. And I was so grateful that someone had decided to make an outreach call to me. And that made me listen to a meeting one time. I think three calls came in about 4 or 5 days. And I said, and I saw somebody at Trader Joe's who had brought to my attention that there's a meeting every day on the phone bridge at 6 o'clock. And they were in a hurry to get home. And I said, well, why don't I listen? And, you know, why won't I do that? And I was resistant. And I'm grateful that someone in the people that I knew brought to my attention that you can step right back into the meeting and you won't be, you know, they won't slash out at you or being embarrassed because you gain the weight back. That's a direction to go in to lose more than you needed. And, you know, those things that have kept you out, you will be able to, they will be a low priority in comparison to all the good that CHOW offers in this program. I went out and I did find some other programs, but they were not as structured, and it did not, it was just too loose, leaving me too many decisions for me to make. So I love CHOW for the mental, the physical, and the spiritual mindset and structure that it has in me. So I am thankful, and just keep coming back and know that God is with you no matter what. The midnight hour when you can't call your sponsor, there's a way to sit, and I know I do that when I can't sleep, is I get up and I meditate. I get up, sit up, and meditate. If I can't sleep, I'm laying down and I can't sleep. And sometimes because of the East Coast, I may find a meeting on, you know, so I can make my connection then. Thank you so much. Thank you. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Thank you, Diane P.
Thank you so much, Diane. And I forgot to introduce Carlene. She's our timer. And when it's your time to speak, you can ask her and let her know how you would like to be timed. Our next speaker is Ginger B, and she's going to talk about doing service on our phone bridge intergroup. Go ahead, Ginger.
Okay, all right, hi. How long, what is the time, Marcia?
The time is a total of 15 minutes, and then you can let Carlene know how you would like to be timed.
Carlene, can you give me a two-minute warning, please? Thank you very much. And so thank you, Marcia, for asking me to be of service, and I thank my higher power for allowing me to do so. My name is Ginger B., and I am a compulsive eater. I came into program 8 years, 6 months, and 30 days ago. Prior to that, I was a member of our sister program, came into that in 89. It was coming into this meeting, into this program for some reason, through the grace of God, I was finally able to hang up my uniqueness and surrender to the program, and my life has changed as a result. In Phoenix, where I live, we had one face-to-face meeting. And so I went to that meeting, and I saw people I knew from the other program. I met new people, and everybody in the room had that glow about them, and I wanted that. And so I got a sponsor, and my sponsor said, well, you're going to need to go to PhoneBridge. So I went to PhoneBridge, and I fell in love with PhoneBridge. It's an amazing organization. But it doesn't just happen. It happens because people volunteer, and they are willing to be of service. And I've had three or four sponsors, but I had one sponsor for almost the entire time of my abstinence. And one thing that she did is she modeled service. After I had 30 days of abstinence, my sponsor, it was a gentleman, and so he could only sponsor me for 30 days, or, you know, till I stepped up. And he just, you know, let me know that when I step up, I should be leading meetings and I should be sponsoring. And, you know, you take that leap of faith and you say, oh, boy, all right, I don't know if I can do it, but I will. And after I had 90 days of back-to-back abstinence, my sponsor, and it was a different sponsor at that time, said, so which PhoneBridge meeting are you going to represent? And it's like, oh, boy, when I was in our sister program, I live in Phoenix, and that's where our co-founders started our program. And I was in that program at the time, although I don't have the recollection of meeting those people, but at our intergroup meetings, and it was the HOW meeting, we had people come and scream at us and tell us that we were breaking the traditions by having a food plan. And I just kind of had to withdraw because I couldn't handle the conflict. You know, I was in for recovery, not conflict. And so when, you know, my sponsor said, "Do you, you know, which PhoneBridge meeting are you going to be a representative for?" It was like, hey, I don't really want to do it. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And so I stepped up, and the most amazing thing happened. At my very first meeting as an intergroup rep, there was a motion on the floor, and it was hotly debated. It was, you know, we use Robert's Rules of Order, so there is always supposed to be respect and compassion with each other. But this item was something that both people who, you know, were the pro and the con were very much adamant that they wanted it to happen. A vote was taken, and I was nervous about voting because, you know, I want to please everybody, and I wasn't sure where I should be on that issue. And the amazing thing at that time, and we really, I don't know if we still do it this way, but once they had a majority vote, they stopped the voting, so I didn't actually have to vote. But the amazing thing is after it was over and passed, the person who had the con view to the motion, she got on and said, I just want to thank everybody for giving their opinions and listening to mine. And then someone from the other viewpoint got on and said the same thing. And I thought, my God, I have died and gone to heaven. This is the nicest place. This is the nicest intergroup meeting I have ever been to. And so, you know, I kept going. I was active. And then one day, the secretary didn't show. And they said, does anybody know, you know, how to do Excel? Well, yeah, I know how to do Excel. And I said, sure, I'll take roll. I can take minutes. I've done that kind of thing before. And so I took roll and, you know, did what I needed to do. And afterwards, I got a phone call from the chair, and she said, Ginger, you know what? Our secretary stepped down. Would you be willing to put your name in the basket for secretary? And one of the things I've learned in this program is not to jump and say yes immediately. Instead, to say, thank you for that offer. Let me pray. Let me talk to my sponsor, and I'll get back to you. So I did those things. And I said to my sponsor, oh, you know, I don't know if I want this as a full-time job. And I didn't mention qualifications. So qualifications to be an intergroup rep is you need 90 days of continuous abstinence. You have to have completed the step-up ceremony. You have to have an active relationship with a C-House sponsor. And you have to declare yourself that you're actively practicing the steps. And our intergroup meetings are every other month. They're on a Sunday, and they are from, I want to say, 5 to, and I'm not sure the exact time. I think they're an hour and a half. So, you know, that was my commitment as an intergroup. But then when I was considering being secretary, that would then put me as the executive board, because the executive board of PhoneBridge is made up of the chair, vice chair, treasurer, and secretary. Now, the thing about those, how it's a little differently, you still need, you need 1 year in fellowship, 6 months of recovery. The same things about, you know, being active with your sponsor, et cetera. But you have you have to have served for 6 months as an intergroup rep for a phone bridge or any other meeting. Now, if you're running for chair, you have to have 6 months as a phone bridge rep, and, you know, you have to be on phone bridge intergroup. It can't be a different intergroup. Then there's another part. It says you have to visibly reflect the ideals of CHOW in order to serve as role models to others. You have to also have completed your fourth step, blah, blah, all the other things are the same. And so that idea of visibly reflecting the ideals of CHOW in order to serve as a role model, that means I can't have fat serenity. And what fat serenity means to me is that I'm working the program, but I'm overweight. And that is something that when I went to our first my first convention and I walked in, I didn't see fat serenity in the rooms. I really didn't see it. Because right here it states that in our bylaws, that if you are on the board, executive board, you really need to be at your maintenance weight. You know, you have to have that. So, you know, that was a little bit more. And through the grace of God, I was at maintenance weight. I got at maintenance very soon because of, you know, because I, that's just where I was at. That's really irrelevant. But at any rate, I talked to my sponsor, and she said, Ginger, do it. Just do it. Why not? And so I did. And as the secretary, it took a lot of time because I was looking at emails every day. You know, you send things out. But it was a wonderful way to get to know so many more people. And, you know, organizational skills, it's good to have them. And, you know, in my case, the secretary wasn't present when I took over that position. So, you know, I had to do a little bit of recreating the wheel. But it all went well. And, you know, that's the major thing about this service thing, about this component in CHOW, is that we get to say yes to service. And then we're not out there on our own. There are always people who will help us, will walk us through. I mean, how often on a phone bridge meeting, you know, when someone says, hey, this is the first time I'm sharing, or this is the first time I'm leading the meeting, you know there's love and compassion out there and people will join in and help. Well, the same thing is true for the board of directors and the inner group. And other people are going to talk about other levels of service, but really what I have found to be true for me is that if I say yes and I do the work, it's going to get done. And God clears up my calendar in order for me to get done the things that I need to get done. And it just kind of blows me out of the water. And I think what we hear again and again is we can't keep this program if we don't give it away. And I know that there have been times where I thought, you know what, I'm just going to throw it in because, you know, I've been thin for so long, through the grace of God one day at a time, but I've been thin. I know what I'm supposed to eat. Why do I have to do all this work? Well, I'll tell you why I have to do all this work, because our program, our disease, you know, that our program is helping us abstain from one day at a time, is cunning, baffling, powerful, and I like to add the word patient, because it can wait. You know, I spoke to someone this morning who had 19 years of back-to-back abstinence, and her disease got her. And that scares the bejeebies out of me. And that's why I do service, because when I have those bizarre thoughts, not that I have them every day, trust me, the promises do come true, but when I have those thoughts about, oh, you know, I don't really need to do all this work, I'm going to just pick up. Because, you know, whatever, that's what my disease tells me, I think about all the things I would have to withdraw from in terms of service, because God has blessed me with the willingness to do service. And, you know, trusting in God is so very, very important. And so we sort of step out in faith. We take that next step, that next action, and God puts in our pathway the people we need, the tools that we need, and we get to serve and help other people. You know, I've been in professional weight loss groups. I have a lifetime membership. But you know what? Those groups that were there for money. And yes, they wanted to help the members, but there was no calling when they heard that I was having a hard time, or when I stopped coming, nobody called me and said, "Where have you been, Ginger?" You know, that's the beauty of our 12-step program, is we make friends. We meet people giving service, and we get connected. I can't tell you how blessed I've been, how many different people I've met as an inner group rep, as the executive board member, as an area rep, as a delegate, as being on the board of directors, being, you know, just different areas to be of service. And, you know, it all starts with that one step, one small word where you say, yes, yes, I trust, yes, my higher power will guide me through this. And it's principles before personalities. We don't like everyone. Some people annoy us, and it's sometimes people who we're working with on a committee or who you might share a seat with on a board. But you know what? You get to breathe. You get to do the acceptance prayer, and you get to know that it's not your job to judge them or tell them what to do. Thy will be done, and let thy will be my will, has been my mantra that has gotten me through so many things. Bless them and change me, because I can't control anyone else. I can only change myself, and I would much rather be changing myself, because it's going to make me a better person. And isn't that what it's about? You know, it's not about, what did they say, we come in for the vanity, but we stay for the sanity. And by being of service, it helps me be more sane. It helps me get to know wonderful people. And this organization, we are run, you know, the people, our forefathers, you know, looking back at Bill W. and Dr. Bob, they really knew what they were doing. And you know what? I love that we have so many different kinds of book studies and things. And, you know, AA comes of age. We learn about the history of AA. And we get to hear how they muddled through things, and they trusted things, and they had to redo things. And, you know, who was in charge? God was in charge. Who is in charge of our program today? God is in charge. It's not us. It's not our chair. It's not our president of WSO. You know, we have group conscience, and that's the beauty of it. And, you know, hopefully our inner group is a loving and kind place. And, you know, and the thing is why are we in this program? Because we're sick. And so sometimes we're sicker than we are at other times. You know, sometimes there are sick people who are in positions where they're leading. But we can pray for those people and, you know, love them gently and then run for that office when they're up. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to create conflict or anything like that. But, you know, life isn't perfect. But we get to do life so much better than, I get to do life so much better than when I was in the food. I am so grateful that I have this program. I am so grateful that there are people who step up and are willing to do service, and that, you know, when I call into a meeting, there's a meeting. And, you know, when I go to the assembly or I go to the convention, there are people who have showed up and signed up and done so much service beforehand. And so if you, and I'm going to kind of wrap this up, if you have, oh, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, Carlene. If you have never done service in C-Health, and, you know, when we talk about service, we're talking about being a timer, about leading the meeting, about leading our fellowship time, about being an intergroup rep, about being one of the officers, being an area rep, a delegate on the board. All of those are ways that we can be involved. Lead a marathon meeting. Please consider leading at a meeting. Please consider saying yes. And as sponsors, we heard that with our first speaker, and you're going to hear it with me. As a sponsor, we need to model service, and we need to ask our sponsees and those we talk to on outreach to say yes and step up for service. You will not be delighted. Thanks so much for letting me share, and have a blessed abstinent day, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger. Our next speaker is Beth L., and she's going to speak on the Area 10 rep and also during service on the executive board of Area 10. How would you like to be timed?
We have 15 minutes.
Yes.
I'd like, after 10 minutes, a 5-minute warning and then a 1-minute warning, please.
I will do that. Thank you.
Go right ahead, Beth.
Hi, good morning, everybody, or afternoon. Thanks for being on this workshop, or if you're listening to this later, I hope that you are encouraged to serve. My name is Beth, and I am a compulsive eater, and I just appreciate everybody's service of getting this service workshop coordinated and those who are speaking today. And I know service is defined in many different ways, and I was listening to Ginger share, and she gave a lot of wonderful, great examples. I've been in program since February 3rd, 2011, so I don't count all my numbers, but I could do the math, and just over 8.5 years, by God's grace, being abstinent one day at a time. And I've been of service ever since that date. I've been of service to see how since February 3rd, 2011. And how do I do that? I don't have to wait 30 days. I was able to read at meetings. I was abstinent. I'm going to read the tool line. And just for reminder, the sixth tool is service. Service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. So if you're on the phone today and you don't feel like you've ever been of service, if you're abstinent today, you are being of service. Service is coming to meeting on time, being a leader or speaker, volunteering to be a service person, such as a program chairperson, coffee person, treasurer, secretary, literature person, intergroup representative, etc. So these are all specific roles that a person can play at different levels, from meeting to intergroup to area. Service is see how, and that is really powerful. I'm kind of a image person, and for me, that's like a math equation. Service equals see how. In a mathematical equation, if one thing equals the other, that is pretty powerful. So what does that look like in my abstinence, in our abstinence, in program's abstinence? Being of service, that's being abstinent, and that's doing the work that this program needs, because we are self-supporting. That ties into Tradition 7, which I may incorporate in a minute. And service is putting away chairs when necessary, picking up after the meeting, being quiet when a member is sharing. So service is when you're on the phone and you're just listening, I mean, and not interrupting or not cross-talking. That is also a service. Service is one way to get involved in the program. So there are other many ways to get involved in the program. Service is needed at all levels and at every meeting. Yes, absolutely. And service is giving of ourselves to help see how continue to function. And service is getting out of ourselves by growing inside and being recovered. We can then support and be of service with outward action. Let's all get involved to help see how, because we all know that service is freedom from bondage of self. And that is a big one. And I've heard that shared in many different ways, from today's workshop to other meetings, that, you know, service keeps me sober, service keeps me slim, service gets me out of myself. When I see something that I'd like to be changed or different and see how, I have the opportunity to take action. Because of our group conscience, my action or decision might not be approved or voted on, but I'm willing to see what I can do to change. And if the change that I want doesn't get changed, then I get to look at how I want to change me and how do I accept the interpretations of this program for the goodness of the program and the whole of the program. I was at a meeting yesterday and we were reading, well, the concepts. We hear the concepts every day, but we really focused on the concept line in the third paragraph of the See How concept, that we pray the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us. And that See How ideal will help us progress in a program of recovery on a daily basis. And just the power of this concept of, we pray that the collective group conscience, and this promotes a strong sense of security. It's a mouthful, but in essence, because we are working to improve and grow See How, in God's will, we have a group conscience, and we have an opportunity to feel like we are part of a program, that all voices are heard, and we can then progress in wholeness and unity in recovery, one person at a time, and as a group as a whole. And so, one more thing, like the theory. Another theory, an important piece of our literature, expressing being of service, which is the seventh tradition. And some of us just think seventh tradition is the money pledge. Give us money, aka seventh tradition. And it's a lot more than that. Our seventh tradition, every See How group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. What does that mean to be fully self-supporting? We don't have millions of dollars to hire people to run meetings, to run intergroups, to coordinate retreats, to set up conference or convention. You know, we are self-supporting and we need to show up. We need to do the work. And, you know, there is, as I mentioned before, you know, a large spectrum of service, from being abstinent to being silent on a phone bridge meeting to, you know, being convention chair to, you know, being somebody who does an extreme amount of work every single day that goes kind of unrecognized or behind the scenes. I mean, there are some incredible service champions who live and breathe the service. Some people sponsor 10 people. Other people, coordinate e-literature. So the important thing for me is to not compare myself to others or judge those who serve differently than I do. And that's definitely lots of growth and acceptance that God is in control. One of the most powerful lessons that I've learned in service is let my yes be yes and my no be no, or even let my no be, I will think about it, I will pray about it, and I would like to be of service at someday, but this is not the best time for me. But yes, I'm willing to serve in the future. because when I've said yes, because I felt coerced or resentful that nobody else is doing it and I'm obliged to do it because nobody else is stepping up, that's been an uncomfortable experience for a lot of people, because when serving out of resentment, it just sends this message of negativity and resentment, you know, down the line. And so I've had to really consider, you know, what are my positions, what are my abilities, what is my time, and where can I be of service. And I have taken on a lot of different service positions in my 8.5 years in CHOW, and some have been, my sponsor says, for fun and for free, and others have been a little bit more begrudgingly. And when if it continues to be begrudgingly, then it's time to step down or time to change my attitude. And that is the beauty of program, is it's an inside job, and we look at how I can change me. You know, even our tool literature, negative thinking is a large part of our disease. And one day at a time, we can ask God to help us change it. And service for me is... it's been a long journey. Like I said, from day one, I was abstinent, and then I attended meetings and was reading on meetings. And then after 3 days, I don't know if I became a sponsor. I mean, at some point I became a sponsor and started sponsoring people. And I was leading a meeting consistently. And, you know, I feel like, I don't know, something has changed in the last 5 years of meeting leaders switching off and on a lot. And I know face-to-face meetings do it because people show up, and I feel like it's easier to switch leaders a lot. But on the phone bridge, there'd be one person leading a meeting all by herself, himself, for a year every single week. And now people are sharing the duties, and I think that's great. And people aren't even willing or able to step up for once a month. All right, thank you so much. 5 minutes left. And So, thank you. So it is an interesting phenomenon of how service has different waves of people's participation. And, you know, I don't think it's good or bad that we have 4 leaders in a month versus 1 leader in a month. It's just different, and I think it allows different people to serve, and we have opportunities to be of service. One thing I struggle with sometimes is that a lot of times we preach to the choir. There are people who are enthusiastic and excited about service, and they go and go and go and give and give and give, and we choose the same population to continue to serve. And that's something I get to keep turning over to God, is that everybody is in their own opportunities and own situations. I guess it's up to me to kind of personally connect with people and say, hey, I think you'd be great in this position. Would you consider being of service? Because I know that one-on-one ask is more valuable than just saying, hey, we've got this open service position. Please fill it, somebody. Because sometimes I'm more motivated with a personal connection than I am just a blind call. And so I continued to get involved in service beyond the meeting level because I knew intergroup was important. And I'd been in another 12-step program beforehand and had a variety of service experiences. And I knew, you know, there's a need for intergroup, and that was, you know, wonderful to practice traditions of principles before personalities, and trying to, you know, see the good of the whole and how we as an intergroup can serve Phonebridge intergroup and the meetings in particular. And then as I made the qualifications, I became, the terminology is confusing, but the representative from the intergroup to the area, the area rep. And so I attended the Area 10 Assembly, and then at the Area 10 Assembly phone bridge assembly, phone electronic meeting, Area 10, because Area 10 consists of the Spanish phone bridge and the English-speaking phone bridge. So there's two different phone bridges group consisting of Area 10. And soon, I think, the Zoom meetings, which are electronic online meetings, may fall under Area 10. And I think Spanish has some Skype meetings. So it's a growing area, and that's really exciting. And so as then delegate to conference, I attended conference and voted on different motions for the good of CIHAL. And then I get involved as a delegate at a conference, at the World Business Service Conference, or WSB, WSBC. You get on committees, and I was on the literature committee, and I want to say the website committee, and we meet maybe once a month or once every other month to work on projects. I mean, those are how the questions get made. For those who say how much they love the questions and love the literature, that's because of the work and the service of people on the literature committee at World Service Business Conference. And so we do the work, and that work helps grow the fellowship. It helps grow people's abstinence one day at a time. And I remember, like, the power of, you know, our group conscience and the Robert's Rules of Orders, which is just different ways, you know, of making decisions and allowing everybody to have their voice heard. And there was a piece of literature that the literature committee presented, and I feel like I didn't say enough during the time we were doing the work, but thank you. Oh my gosh, 1 minute left. And there are a lot of errors in this piece of literature, and everybody voted for it. It's like, oh, this is fantastic, and this is great. And then as we reconsidered the motion, we had the opportunity to have the minority voice, and people who didn't vote for it could say, this is why I didn't agree with it. And because more and more people were starting to share their minority voice, the vote was reversed. And so then that piece of literature got sent back to the literature committee to work on for the next year. It was revised, it was cleaned up, it was accurate, and then it was submitted and approved to the following year, the business conference. So those are exciting things that we as a fellowship work together on, and I'm so grateful to have been a part of it. I'm currently serving as Area 10 Treasurer, and that's been an incredible experience, learning so many things about the business behind Treasury for online phone bridge intergroups and the impacts of that. So I just want to encourage anybody who's on the phone today just to be of service. See what the next step they can do. If you're brand new, be abstinent today. If you've got 2 days, see how you can read on the meeting. If you've got 7 days, share on the meeting. After 30 days, sponsor. Consider leading a meeting. After, I want to say, 3 to 6 months, I forget the exact, you know, be an intergroup rep. And then move on to Area. It's not scary. You know, we need you. We need you for this program to thrive. You know, I need you, and I'm grateful my abstinence is between me and God and my sponsor, and the service I give allows me to stay abstinent one day at a time. So thank you for letting me share.
That's kind.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Beth. And now we have Sheila B. Sheila?
I'm here.
Okay.
That's kind of a hard act to follow all these three wonderful speakers. I said, oh my God, what am I going to say? I'm going to be impressive.
Sheila, how would you like to be timed?
Probably let me know 2 minutes. 2 minutes at the end.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. Hi, my name is Sheila, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a carbohydrate addict. And by the grace of God, back in the program again, I have been in and out. I've never been perfect, but just for today. That's all I have to think about is just today. because that's all that God gives me. And I call God my higher power, speak for myself. And I just, as every day I get up and I swing my legs out and I say, thank you, God, for another day. Please help me arrest this disease just for today. And for that, I will be so grateful. And then I do whatever else I have to do, you know, getting on the meetings, making the phone calls, calling my sponsor, weighing, measuring my food, doing whatever I have to do so I can arrest this disease. And that's a very, very, this is the only way that I can really work this program. And plus, of course, the service, too. I mean, being in service, giving service is very, very important. I came into these rooms, be honest with you, in the 70s, and all there was OA. That was it. It was OA / gray sheet, and that's all it was. And I did the program and did it for many years, was very successful, did whatever I had to do, and I always remember that it was said, give back to others what you have graciously been given. And to me, that equals to me of being an example. Because if we are not an example, I cannot get on the phone bridge and tell everybody, well, you should be doing X, Y, and Z. What is your problem? You know, I can't do that. Because if I'm not an example, I cannot help others. But thank you, God, if I am an example, I hope I say something that helps other people. You know, I mean, I always joke around and I say I'm just another bozo on the abstinent bus. You know, and that's just what I am. I am not special. I am not perfect. I am not the most wonderful person in the world. You know, I'm just a person that has a disease. And sometimes it is a dis-ease. And that's just what I am. So I am just so grateful that, thank God, today, that all I have to think about is today. Not like a diet that, you know, think about, oh, let's see, well, if I'm on this for this much time, okay, I'll be fine because I'll lose this much weight, and that'll be great, and then I'll be down where I want to be, and yada, yada, yada. You know, but today, just for today, that's all I have to do. And as they said in Program 2, when you did it today, and when I go to bed at night, I always think of one positive thing and one thing to be grateful for. And God willing, I go to sleep. But that's all I have to do, just say, and we say, if you did it today, when you get up tomorrow, do it again. And this is all choices. This is all choices for in my life. I have a choice. Every single day is a new beginning, and every single day I have a choice. I have a choice to be abstinent and take care of myself, or I have the other thing if I don't want to. But I know that if I don't want to me it's like being in hell. And that's just what it is. So thank you, God, just for today. You know, I'm doing it. I have about 2 years now, and 9 months, you know. But every day is the most precious thing for me. So what do I need to do? I need to give back. I need to give back to people, to give back to the program, what I have. And for me, just for today, I know that I love to give service. I really do. I like to, if somebody needs to read, I'll read. If somebody needs a timekeeper, I'll try to be the timekeeper. If someone needs something else going on or to do a meeting or whatever, I do it. I do 3 meetings a week. I do one meeting. I do once a month on Monday. I do once a month on Tuesday. I do twice a month on Wednesday, the midnight meeting. And that's it, and that's what I do. So, and I get on the meetings. I mean, I hate to say, I laugh when I think they say we should be on so many meetings, you know, do so many meetings a week. I don't know how many meetings I do. I get on meetings as much as I can all the time, because I need to hear people that are like me, that are working this program, that are working it and giving service, and giving service. I sometimes have an issue, a problem, because I do, like I say, different meetings, and sometimes I'm just like giving so much service, and sometimes one meeting, you know, it's like I feel like it was one time just me and someone else that did service. So I was joking. I said, well, it's you and me. This is our show. You know, we're doing a lot of service. Not that I'm begrudging of it. Because I don't mind giving service. I don't mind doing what I have to do. But it's nice to have other people share their experience, strength, and hope through service. That is what is important to me in this program. Because I try to tell people too, you never know what you say that could help somebody else. We don't know. And I always believe that whatever I do say is what God wants me to say. So I just, like I say, service to me is a wonderful thing. It makes me feel too that I am a part of. I'm a part of, like, it's a big circle, and I'm part of the circle because I give service, because I try to give back, and help people. That's my goal in life, is to help other people. I've been there, done that. I'm sure we've all been there, done that, whatever we've done in our lives, even in the program, you know? But I really, like I say, I really feel blessed that I do give the service. So how did I get to be, so I ended up becoming a intergroup representative. My sponsor said, come on. I said, okay. So I'm an intergroup representative for a meeting. That's like a midnight meeting on Wednesday evening. And so I got on there, and it's interesting. I mean, it has its interesting facts and things, and listening to other people and seeing what other people are doing and seeing all the people that do give service and very caring and really need the program. I need the program. I don't just want to have it. I need it. I need it one day at a time. It's like the light bulb goes off that unfortunately this disease will be with me till the day I die. So that's where my choices come. And I have choices. And I have choices to do whatever I have to do. I have choices to be a part of the community. It's very exciting when you're part of a community and you go, and like I went last year to the convention. I was a delegate last year. And that was really, really great. Matter of fact, I had gone to convention one year, and my sponsor suggested, she says, are you coming in earlier? And I said, yeah, I am. She says, why don't you come and listen? Come and listen to the meeting, the delegate meeting. You know, you're not a delegate, but come and listen to the meeting. And it was, I loved it. I said, oh, this is nice to know. How does everything stay in order? How do they get things done? How do we change things in our program? How do we keep an open mind in our program? You know, so to me that was great. And then, like I say, last year I was a delegate, and it was really great. It's nice, to, like I say, of being a part and seeing what it takes to have a group of people, a board of people, plus delegates, to help this program run smoother, to help it run better. It's a lot of work, but it's a great feeling to be part of something that you're helping improve the program, improve your service, improve what you do in the program. You know, that was a real highlight for me. That's what I got a lot out of. I thought it was great. And my opinion counted. That was the interesting thing. So, because in life, sometimes your opinion doesn't count, and people don't want to hear your opinion, you know. But, I mean, that was, you know, my opinion counted. And to me, for the better, I mean, for the better of the program, for the better to improve the program like that. So, but, you know, being, like I say, being part, I'll be honest with you, I've been through all different phases of our program. I mean, like I say, I started out in OA, then after I stayed in that. That was most of my time, I would say. I stayed in that and did gray sheet. Then after, like I say, unfortunately, I got cancer, got melanoma cancer, and things went awry. So I wasn't doing my program. I was just hoping to survive and live. And I'm not saying whether it was the best thing to do. It probably was not or not. But anyways, that was I believe God gave me my journey, and that was my journey. So anyways, I had my cancer, and thank you, God. It's been about 12 years, 13 years, one day at a time. And so then I happened to look into, I live in Colorado now, and I looked in, and I saw a little blip in the paper. It's like free paper you can get. And it said CEA How Group. You know, and it talked a little about it. And I says, you know, well, I haven't tried that one. I mean, I tried FA for 3 days, forget it. That wasn't for me. And that was it, like I say. So I said, well, might as well try it. I have nothing to lose. So I went to a meeting, and we have about 3 live meetings here in Colorado. Very small, unfortunately, but anyways. And so then I went to the meeting, and I got myself a sponsor, and I worked the program. I really got into working the program one day at a time. And I did it, and I did it for a long, long time. And then I guess I have to say my wonderful disease said, Sheila, aren't you tired of doing this? Aren't you tired to do all this stuff and all that? And I get to that point. I get to the absorption point, I call it, probably then. My disease, you know, like I say, kicks in. And I was out of program. And so that was that. And then my sponsor always would kind of in between always call me, say, hi, how you doing? What's going on? And it's okay, but I didn't jump on the wagon. I didn't jump on the wagon right away. So then after that, one day, be honest with you, my daughter and I were having a discussion, and it was about one of my children, and all of a sudden, I got so belligerent. It was terrible. I felt like I was standing there watching someone else. That wasn't me.
2 minutes.
And my daughter turned around to me and said to me, Mom, why don't you go back to program? Because when you're in program, you're a better person. And that hit right to me. I'm sorry, did you say 2 minutes?
Yes, right at 2.
Okay, all right. So anyway, so I came back in the program. And like I say, all I can say is I am just so grateful. Grateful, grateful, grateful that I have the blueprints. I have the 7 tools. I have a sponsor. I have a food plan. And that giving service to me is the most important thing I can do at this time to me, because where I'm at, I'm in a good place. It took me, the light bulb went off finally saying that, Sheila, you are worth it. It took me a heck of a long time. You are worth taking care of yourself. And self-love, those are 2 things. But, you know, thank you, God, today, I am worth it, and I'm worth it to give to this program back what I have so, so graciously been giving, and to do whatever I can to help another person, you know, come on the abstinent bus, because we're all doing the same thing. We all want to be better, to grow and learn each day of our lives, and to be a better person, and to love ourselves and take care of ourselves, because we really are worth it, one day at a time. So I thank you so much for letting me share. I hope I gave something. If you got one thing out of my talk, I'm thrilled. And I'm just so glad to be a part of this community. And hopefully I will till the day I die. And thank you all so, so much. And thank you, Marcia, for asking me.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you so much. And now we have Lorraine S., and she's going to be speaking on her journey and her service on the board of directors. Go ahead, Lorraine.
I'm Lorraine, compulsive eater. My abstinent date is June 22nd, 2008, maintaining an 88-pound weight loss and about 132 million pounds of guilt, remorse, and misery have also been released. My journey is one of fear and risk the very first couple of meetings, that, and then turned out to be, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful, I can't do enough. The first couple of meetings that I went to, I was like most people. I was there to lose the weight. And one of the things that they started talking about was service, and I thought to myself, oh no, I'm going to get suckered into something. And I closed my mind briefly. But I kept coming back, and after a couple of weeks, I got to see what they meant by service, and I did a reading at the meeting, and then I started doing little bits here and there on the individual meeting level, but I was learning to not be isolated, and I was learning to see it as service instead of getting suckered into something to do. And it seemed like every time I started doing a little more service, my abstinence and my emotional and my mental health grew, and the people that I was working with became real people to visit with and have a fellowship with, and I learned what fellowship was like. And so I started doing just little bits of service, and as I felt more comfortable around the people, I also felt more comfortable to do a little bit more service, so I started doing all the different meeting things as my abstinent requirements were completed. Then I moved on to other service levels on the meeting level. And then I'm in Colorado, and we were finally able to be big enough to have an intergroup. And so we applied and became an intergroup, and I was nominated and elected to be the first chair of the intergroup, and I'm sitting to myself thinking, I am the youngest person on the block here as far as the 12-step program, and I thought, I shouldn't be here, and I prayed about it. My higher power said, yeah, you can do this, so I did, and over the course of a couple of years, I offered to be the area rep and was given that opportunity, and I became the chair of the area and worked on that, and then became a delegate and started to go to the World Service Conferences every July and participate in the unbelievable experience of working on the true global level and meeting many people from all over the country and Mexico. I don't think we had anyone else from any other country other than Mexico at the time. There were people in other countries that were part of CEHAL, but I don't remember them being there. And one thing that I would like to really encourage people for service, especially on the delegate level, my first couple of years as a delegate, there were at least 70 or more delegates there. This last time, I think there was like 35, and it broke my heart because I know there's a lot of people out there who need to be encouraged for the service and, of course, the seventh tradition of money to get people there. But the experience is overwhelmingly positive. Even when things, as has been mentioned earlier, even when things became tense or uncomfortable or anything like that, somebody calls for the Serenity Prayer. And we all become great people once again. And I would rather work with people that are in recovery than anyone in the world. And it's a blessing. And asked to be considered to be on the World Service Board and was elected, and I worked for about a year and a half on the board and became vice chair when the vice chair had to step down. And then my second tenure, I became, for 1 year, the chair of the board. And I want to put a plug in for the people who do service. The meeting level is so very important, and the more you get involved in the program, it truly is the inverted triangle. The individual meetings are the most important service positions that we can have, because that's where we're bringing in other suffering addicts and offering recovery programs to them. And working on the board is not a lot of extra work. Yes, it is work. I'm not going to say that there was no work to do. But I have worked just as hard on the meeting level and the intergroup level as I did on the board in many ways. You have conference calls every quarter, so it's four times a year, depending on the different individual committees that you become the liaison for. For instance, the literature committee, your education committee, finance committee, then you have those extra meetings too. So you end up having probably 8 phone conference calls or more a year. 4 of them are long. The actual board, when the board meets, it isn't a most of the day on a Saturday every 3 months. And you get through a lot of the business. And the work on the board is certainly representing the whole fellowship. We discuss questions or problems that come in. If it is responsible, or if there is something that will affect, see how as the whole, the board will talk about it and make some decisions about it. If it is specific to individual meetings or intergroups or even areas, it's left to those individual places, because we are autonomous and the board is not the ruling body by any chance, by any means. And there's an awful lot of work that gets done, and of course the conference, the July conference and the motions that are brought forth and everything, those are huge, important business meetings. And then, of course, being financial stewards of the seventh tradition. So those are the kinds of things that happen on the board members. Another thing that the board does is you take turns called, it's D-O-M, I can't remember what D is, but if there is a question, for instance, from an individual or from a meeting area, et cetera, if there is a question, they send it to the GSO office, and then one board member every month is the, it's called Director of the Month, that's what it is. Anyway, they send out this email question to all of the board members. We talk about it, we make decisions about it and a consensus, and we send back our opinion or the answer that might be needed. But again, the individual meeting is autonomous, and so a lot of the questions that can be answered are obvious in the gray book, in the forever absent book that we talk about, or just, you know, communication needs, and it's wonderful. The service that I have given on the board has enriched my life so much, because, I think the phone bridge participants get this as well, I can call anybody in the world at any time, and they know where I'm at and what I'm doing and how I'm feeling, and they accept me for what I am. And when we go to the conferences in July, I say, I've got 200 best friends for a day, you know. And that's how I feel on the board. I'm representing everyone that is in the fellowship, and the service that I provide are the skills that I have. And I do a lot of prayer, and I'll tell you what, it keeps me really abstinent, because when you have the responsibilities and knowing the people and know the service that you're giving, you have that responsibility to keep your abstinence. And that's a blessing for me. It's such a blessing. And the people that I have worked with are just golden They are golden people. And as also mentioned before, sometimes you run across a personality that might not click with you. But you know what? When you stick to the service and you stick to the fellowship, it doesn't matter. Our higher power is what leads all of our meetings and our board, our area, everything. And when you have that particular responsibility taken away from you because you know your higher power is doing the work, you're able to give of the service freely. And I just highly, highly recommend everyone to take the risk. If it's risky or scary, take it anyway. You always have someone there. You have a mentor. You have support. There is no better support than someone else in your fellowship, you know. And when my sponsor encouraged me to do all of these things, sometimes it was a blessing, and sometimes I thought, oh, my God, it's a curse, you know.
5 minutes.
But that's what we need to be as sponsors. When we are sponsors, we need to be a blessing and a curse because we have to gently shove our sponsees out the door and say, you need to do service for yourself, not for me, but for yourself. And
5 minutes.
I've been blessed. Thank you. I have been blessed with having a couple of sponsors over the year that have gently pushed me through the door and say, you can do this, or you need to do this, or think about this. And I have been blessed with sponsees who get it. And I haven't had to do a lot of pushing. I have sponsees who really understand the blessing of service. And so they just kind of take it upon themselves, and I support them. And I will be there for them for anything that they need. And I have met people all over the United States, face-to-face at conference time and over the phone at other times, that I would never have known otherwise. And my life is enriched because I said yes at that third meeting and read. The only thing I can't be responsible for is the keys. I'm not a good key person. I lose them. So I don't do keys, but there's a good reason for that. But I think that going, and the inverted triangle, you know, we always say move up to the board, and that's not it at all. We move down to the board because the board is really a true representative of the whole fellowship. There is no self-serving on the board at all. It has to be whatever is best for the fellowship as a whole. And the more I've worked on the board, the more I appreciate and value the individual meetings. And that's where it starts. Everything starts at the individual meeting, and that is so important. And I am very happy to talk to anyone else about it individually, and I can say nothing but encouragement. I have never had a time where I've said, oh, darn, I've got a meeting on the phone today and I don't want to do it. I always kind of, you know, have those mixed feelings on whether I want to spend some time on the phone or not. But once I dial in that phone number, everything is beautiful and everything is serene. And whatever's going on in my life just kind of stays on hold for a while. And I get to have fellowship with wonderful people in recovery. I get to do service work, even for people that I'll never meet. But someday we'll have the blessing of a recovery, and I'll know it's because of there's some service that I did because somebody did service for me. And I am paying back for all of the people that did the work so that I can experience recovery. And to me, that's the best service I can do, is to pay back in whatever way my higher power asks me to do. I'm Lorraine. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. Okay. Our last speaker is Jan D. She's going to be talking about doing service at the WSO as in the executive committee. Are you there, Jan?
I am here.
Hi, Jan. How would you like to be timed?
Just let me know when 5 minutes is up and then time. When I have 5 minutes left. In time.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So go ahead, Jan.
Thank you so much, Marcia, for asking me, and thank you all for amazing shares this morning. I always learn something, even though I've, you know, been doing this for quite some time. But every time I hear someone else share, I learn from that. I get to soak all that in. I've been in program for an abstinence for 15 years and a month and some days, 12 days. I have been blessed. I came into the program because I hit bottom. I hit bottom, and I had nowhere else to go. And the person who led me to the program became my first sponsor. And when I went to the meeting, you know, I heard all the tools. I heard the sharing. I witnessed the serenity. I witnessed the recovery, and I knew that I was home. I knew I had to come back. And so I did get her, my friend, as a sponsor that night. And but I didn't find my abstinence right away. I waited 2 days. But that day in between, I ate everything in sight, and I decided, no, that isn't doing it. I think I will do this. I woke up Saturday morning, and my higher power was there with me and said, you can do this, and let's start today. And that was over 15 years ago. But when I came into program, I was the kind of person, I was very controlling. I was in a management position at work, and I figured that's where what I need to be. I need to be in charge. I need to be the boss. I need to know everything, because I made it my business to know everything about everything. And everybody came to me and said, oh, here you go. You know, ask Jan. She knows. And I usually had an answer, and if I didn't, I'd make one up. No. But I was a teacher also at one point in my life, and I learned that a teacher is not someone who has all the answers. It's a person who knows where to find them, and that is the helpful part of who I am and what I do. But I found out also in program as I went into the first 30 days, I found it was a great exercise in humility, that I wasn't in charge of that. I felt like I wanted to be in charge of everything, but I couldn't be in charge of that. And as I got through my first 30 days and I stepped up, and my sponsor said, okay, it's time to sponsor someone. And I was like, okay, it's time to lead a meeting. Okay. But I did it. I did it because my sponsor said, that's what we do. And I didn't question it. I hesitated a little bit. And that exercise has been so useful over the past 15 years, because I've also learned that if I don't try something new, I'll never learn anything from it. If I just stay in my comfort zone, I can't grow. And as I went on, I was in the program 2 to 3 months, and they needed an intergroup rep. And because we'd have to drive to another city, and I love to go to that city, I said, I'll do that, and I'll drive. Anybody want to come with me? And but it was my eagerness to learn more about the program, and I don't know if it was to be in charge or not, to be responsible for something. I wasn't afraid to do that. And I've been an intergroup rep of some group ever since then, at some point. Until I went on the board. And I'll get to that in a minute. But As I grew in my recovery, as I became an inventory sponsor, a step sponsor, and at that point, I had been an intergroup rep, and then I went on to be an area rep, and I wanted to go on to see about becoming a delegate after several years in the program, because I love doing service. That's what kept me there.
It kept me going. It helped me stay active. I got to participate in all levels of service. At the meeting level, I got to, I live in a small town out about 2 hours from Las Vegas. And like I said, we're a very small town. And I wanted a meeting. There was one meeting in a nearby town that is the one that I always went to. But I wanted a meeting in my town. And consequently, I started one. And I sat there for 2 months by myself. And then people started to come. Every Saturday morning, people started to come. And our meeting grew. It was never huge, but it grew. And I felt so good about having that meeting. And I was able to sponsor many more people, and I was able to help the program grow in my little town. We ended up with 3 meetings here, and then another meeting continued. Well, my service was to continue the meeting in the nearby town also, which eventually did go by the wayside. But, you know, as someone already mentioned, people come and people go. And all I can do is be an example. I can be a representative. I can get the word out. But whether anyone hears that, you know, is up to them. I can plant the seed. And oftentimes, you know, we plant the seed, but it's a period of time before the seed starts to grow and the person appears at our doorstep. It's amazing how service has kept me abstinent. It's kept me here. Every time that I take on a new sponsee, especially a newcomer, what I do is I learn from that newcomer. Working with a newcomer, and this is an amazing service that we all, once we have our 30 days and step up, we do this. We take on newcomers to sponsor them. Talking to a newcomer is like talking in the mirror. It's like seeing myself. I hear what they have to say, and I'm like, I know exactly what you're talking about. That was me. You know, that's where I come from. Every time I'm in a meeting of any kind, whether it's a regular phone bridge meeting, if I'm lucky enough to find a face-to-face meeting. In fact, I drive to Las Vegas for face-to-face meetings fairly frequently. If I am because I'm on the board at this point, we have our quarterly phone conference meetings. Our quarterly meetings are a conference call. But every time that I hear anyone talking, I'm like, I'm just another compulsive eater. It's such a good reminder. In the beginning, it was like, oh, what an ego trip. No. And then I learned this is not an ego trip. This is a lesson. This is an exercise in learning humility. And that has been the greatest blessing for me in doing service at all levels. At each level of service, I learned more humility. I learned how vulnerable I am. I've recently gone through some personal issues, and I was, you know, because I'm a compulsive eater, just like everyone else listening here, the disease wants to push through, and it wants to destroy me. It wants its way, and I'm like, you can't have your way. My higher power has to have the lead here. I have to turn it all over to my higher power. I'm not going to turn it over to my disease. But, you know, that temptation arises from time to time. And doing service is one of the things that keeps me on the right track. There's no way I could talk to all those people that I talk to every day and say, I can't do that. No, I have to be able to do it only because that's what's going to keep me here doing what I do. And what I do is I do the 7 tools every day. I do I talk to my sponsor every day. I just do everything that I need to do. And the level of service that we do is an indication of possibly how long we've been in program. Because there is a minimal abstinence requirement for each level of sponsorship. Of course, it's 30 days and having been stepped up for sponsor.
5 minutes.
Thank you. To be an inventory sponsor, you have to have completed your inventory. A step sponsor is 60 days of abstinence and have completed your steps. And a maintenance sponsor is having reached the maintenance level and having at least 90 days of back-to-back see how abstinence. As far as being an area rep, it depends on your area. It's either 1 or 2 years of back-to-back abstinence, and usually 2 to 3 years in the program, actively, continuously in the program. To be a delegate, you have to have 2 years. And 3 years in the program. And to be on the World Service Board of Directors, it is the same as being a delegate. Therefore, if you interested in being a delegate and you have those qualifications, they're the same as being a board a director, because the directors are elected from the fellowship of the delegates. That's where the directorship comes from. Each of us is chosen by group conscience. The previous speakers mentioned, we're not stepping up, we're stepping down, because the power of the program comes from the groups, and the groups are right on top there, because without the groups working together and to make the intergroups and the areas and the delegates and the board, each of us supports the other so that we have a strong base. And what the board of directors' role is to preserve to be a support and preserve the traditions. I apologize. I'm at a loss for words here sometimes, but it's to support the structure of the fellowship, to make sure that everything is agrees to the traditions and the concepts of service, and all of the goals and the basis of what our program stands for and what it is. It's kind of the glue that kind of helps hold the fellowship together. And there is no decisions made as far as our literature, as far as our policies and bylaws, without the full group conscience of the vote of the fellowship. At the level of usually the delegates and the board of directors. Now, I've been on the board, this is my fourth year, and I will be stepping down because there's a time limit to allow others to be of service also. When you're elected to the board, you're there for either 2 to 4 years, and then you step down, and you can sit, you know, do something else for 2 years, and then if you're interested, you can become eligible again. And it's up to the delegation to choose the directors on the board. Marcia mentioned the executive committee. Now, the executive committee is separate from the board of directors. The board of directors has a chair and a vice chair. I happen to be the vice chair, for the past 2 years, and the vice chair is just there in case the director is the chair is unable to serve or needs assistance with something. But the executive committee is something that we don't hear too much about unless you're on the board. But it is made up of the president of the corporation. It's incorporated because it is essentially a nonprofit business. So we have to have a corporation. Okay, I'll wrap this up. But all of this information can be found in our new the See How Service Manual. It's the how-to manual. It just came out in May, and it is available to purchase from your intergroup literature person, and or you can order it from World Service if you don't have an intergroup. But all of that information is there, and I do appreciate your allowing me to share today. And I'm Jan D., and I'm in Arizona. Thank you all for your service today.
Thank you so much, Jan D., and thank you to Diane, Ginger, Beth, Sheila, Lorraine, and Jan D. for speaking for us today and being on our panel. And now is the time to open it up for questions. Just want to remind you that this is still being recorded, and you can give your first name and last initial if you'd like. So let's go ahead and open it up and see if anyone likes to ask a question of the panel.
Marsha, I'd like to share briefly. It's Suzanne.
Okay, go right ahead.
Thank you, Marsha, for putting this together, and thank everyone who shared today. And yes, I wanted to, there are three things. The service manual, as Jan just brought up, the service manual has service at every level and Robert's rules, because I know a lot of people are afraid of, I can't do a business meeting because I don't know Robert's rules. So it's all in there. The other thing is our intergroup, the Foam Ridge, voted that when we did a workshop, we asked for donations. And so I'm asking you, if you're listening to this live or listening to it later, please send in Seventh Tradition if you like the workshop, especially in lieu of the Foam Ridge may be in jeopardy. could be. There's new news about that. So please give. And the other thing is both intergroups, Foam Ridge English, Foam Ridge Spanish, will be electing area reps next month. And if you've, in the qualifications have been updated, so if you have a year in fellowship and a year of abstinence and have been an intergroup rep for at least, I think it's 6 months or a year, or at this minute I can't remember, you can become an area rep. And we do need area reps. So if any of you on the line have been a delegate or an area rep, please call people and ask them. I've asked a couple of people already. And that personal touch is so important. And so I like to say, if I can do service, you can do it better than I can, probably much better. So I hope that gives everybody encouragement to be of service. Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Anyone else would like to share on their experience in doing service at any of the levels, or like to ask a question? Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Linda M., compulsive eater, and I am a Foam Ridge participant. I know, Ian, we asked for Seventh Tradition, and I didn't know all of the different things that the Seventh Tradition goes to, you know, until I ask somebody. And I think it's important to let folks know what everything goes to, because I know it goes to pay for the post office box that we have, and I think it's important, and if somebody would elaborate more on how important it is for us to support general service, and that we, as a phone bridge, we also, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, do a Seventh Tradition to, like, the worldwide fellowship. So it's not that we're just you know, I guess, okay, my opinion is that people think that, well, we don't have to pay rent, so why should I do a seventh tradition? So if the speakers could elaborate more on what the seventh tradition for PhoneBridge goes to and the importance of it.
This is Beth, Area 10 Treasurer. I'd be happy to say a few things and other people could share their own experience too.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So as the Area 10 Treasurer, I receive checks from PhoneBridge English Group and PhoneBridge Spanish Group. And there's different percentages of how the money is spent. Actually, the PhoneBridge Treasurer would probably be a better person to tell you all the breakdown of what the money is used for. You're right, there is no rent, but a significant, well, there's a breakdown of, I'm going to say 60-40 or 60-30-10, and maybe it's slightly off or slightly different than that. And percentage of it stays with the intergroup, percentage of it goes to the area, and a percentage of it goes to World Service Office. And the money is used for the website. We have, you know, a major website. In the past, we had, I think, a member, and then she was no longer a member, but she was still of service, who was a website maintainer, and she did it for very, very low cost. And now she stepped down from that position, and therefore we have to pay a web company to make major changes on our website, which impacts our fellowship as a whole. Our money from intergroup and then goes to area and or World Service pays for staff at the World Service Office. We have an administrator who answers questions and, you know, gets everything ready for World Service Business Conference, printing documents, buying folders, getting name tags. We need to pay money for the business conference, like for the hotel when you have a conference for 2 days or, you know, a meeting room. That costs money, and so we spend money from PhoneBridge to give to World Service to help the delegate meeting conference, and then income to, you know, get some support to the conference itself. Specifically for PhoneBridge, that, you know, what does money for PhoneBridge go for? I honestly don't know specifically PhoneBridge, but I know that area uses it to support our delegates. Delegates come from Area 10 around the world. We have an Area 10 board member who lives in England, and for her to come to the World Service Business Conference is over $1,000, almost $1,500. And we, as Area 10 representatives, are given $500. $500 to include our flight and our hotel and a small food stipend and some other transportation. And as you know, travel these days for professional business conferences exceed $500 significantly. And for those of us working, we take 2 days off from work to attend the business conference. And so we give up our time and our service, and we're reimbursed up to $500. If we had, you know, greater reserves in our PhoneBridge and our Area 10, those delegates would be able to be reimbursed a greater amount for their travel and their expenses. We're not paid, but it does help offset some of the costs that we incur. So those are just a few examples.
This is Marcia, and
this is Lorraine. May I answer a little bit to that question as well?
Just a minute, Lorraine. This is Marcia. I was on the executive board of the intergroup, and one of the things that is our cost is that we have a prudent reserve, and also we pay an outside person who is the same. She is the same accountant as World Service, and we pay her to be our accountant and to help our treasurer. So that's one of the expenses. But a majority of our monies that come in from the group, from, you know, the groups and go to the inner group. Most of it goes to Area 10 because we do support our inner group reps go on to be Area 10 reps, and then they become delegates. And like Beth said, we do pay a stipend. There's been some talk about increasing that up to $600. I personally would not have been able to go as a delegate if I did not get that $500 stipend. So it does encourage people to step up and be delegates because they do pay a portion for you to serve as a delegate. So go ahead, Lorraine.
Marcia, point of information, 30% okay. of Foambridge goes to Area 10 and 70% goes to World Service.
70% goes to World Service.
Yeah, just point okay. of information. Thank you.
Okay, well, a couple of things I would like to also mention is very little of the money goes to the personnel. The two people who get paid for their positions are well under minimum wage, or not minimum wage at least, I mean, but well underpaid for what they do. So I do want people to know that the money, when the money goes there, we're not giving everybody a living wage. The more money that comes in through Seventh Tradition for any group also provides more delegates. Most of the areas can have many more delegates go to conference, but we are all stifled because of the money. Like, for instance, I know Area 2 could have, I think, between 6 and 10 delegates. We can only afford about 6. And Area 10 is probably in the same boat where you could probably have many more delegates go. And I know that Area 3, 4, and 5 are struggling. And so we had like 2 or 3 delegates from those 3 areas, and it's all financial. There's a couple of business expenses at the GSO level. They have workman's comp. They have to rent the office space that they use. They do pay the CPA to do the work because we do have to have an actual accountant. And so there's a couple of business expenses there, but that is not where all of the money goes. The money goes right back to all of us in the form of conferences, scholarships when they can, and providing the board members and other members, giving them up to about $500 to go to these conferences. The board members are in the same boat as the delegates. A considerable amount of money comes out of our pocket, too. It's not a free ride. And so your money is scrutinized. When it comes in, our financial committee and our treasurer, they really put it to the best place possible, and they're really good stewards of the money. And so it is important for us to keep remembering that even though we may not see it on our individual meeting level, it does go for the good of the fellowship, and it is thoughtfully, it's very thoughtful before the money is spent. It's not frivolous at all. Thank you.
And Lou, I would like to add, Marcia, this is Ginger, is a new component that we are working on is our e-literature and making it available. The technology is increasing and our ability to communicate. And, you know, when Suzanne got online and did the plug for Seventh Tradition, I went to the See How website. I clicked on Foambridge. I went down to Seventh Tradition, and I made a donation using PayPal, and it took me less than a minute. So just want to encourage everyone to, as we're talking about that, to consider doing that. If we all just did a little bit, it would make a big difference. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Ginger. Before we close, is there anyone that has any more questions? Okay. So I'm going to turn off the recording now. And then you can stay on. You can leave your name and phone number, and also those that have spoke today on the panel can leave their name and phone number. So I'm going to turn off the recording at this time.
I just want to mention something.
Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
About PayPal, I think that's a wonderful thing, and I did started doing that a while back where I have a recurring payment. The money comes out of my bank every month. I don't have to think about it or remember it, and it's just there, and I feel glad that I'm doing it. All for the group. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, the PayPal goes to our inner group, and we set that up. And there's another thing about PayPal is that we have to pay a fee for using PayPal. So that's another expense for our inner group, and that is paying a percentage of a portion of for the privilege of using PayPal. So I'm going to go ahead and turn off the recording. I'm just going to take a second here. And then if you'd like to leave your name and phone number for outreach, that would be great.